Fearscape Media Network. Exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Hello there. My name is Sam.
And I'm the man with no name, Lance Wayne.
And we're the hosts of The Antagonists, an all-villain podcast. You can join us every other Thursday for a new episode as we discuss all of your favorite villains from books, movies, and more.
Are the villains you love to hate really as wicked as they seem? Tune in and find out.
You can find us on all major podcast platforms or join us over on fearscapemedia.com.
Welcome to Unsensitive, a show where we take a subject and talk with an expert and break it down with questions that may be normally too impolite to ask. I'm your host, Ray Robinson, and today's topic is a little bit different. We are going to discuss our place in the world. How can you make a change in the world, even if you're not a famous person? I've got one man here that has talked with many people in an effort to learn if this is possible, and he truly believes that you can change the world. So here to explain is Jonathan Rivera. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, when we talked before we started, you had mentioned a phrase that actually caught my attention, and that was activism through conversation, which I thought that was a very intriguing concept. What exactly is activism through conversation?
And I want to start off just by thanking you again for letting me be on. I think that conversational activism through conversation is something that I think we've kind of lost, and it's the way that we can create change every single day. Most often we think of change in the world, right? We say, you know, the world is bad. You know, we need more equality. We need more unity. There's division. And all of that is true. But I think a misconception is that it's up to our leaders, right? Once our leaders change, or once the world changes, then it'll be easier for there to be unity and, you know, not lose the division, right? And I think that's wrong, actually, because the thing is that we actually change the world every day by our conversations, by the people that we interact with, the people that we come in contact with, the people that are in our world that very moment. And I've learned this through having conversations with people that are different than me, people that I disagree with, that disagree with me, or people that I just don't understand, people that are different. The misconception, being misunderstood, I think that scares us more often than not. And it's that fear that leads us to kind of point to the other group and attack them, or just think that they're not, it's because we don't understand that we think that they're wrong. When in reality, it's finding what we're similar in, the similarities. That's how we're going to create unity, and that's how we're going to create change. So that's why I'm a conversational activist.
I like that. Now, tell us a little bit about what has kind of prompted you to take this route and the steps that, from what I understand, you really just kind of started on this journey. Tell us what prompted everything and what steps you've taken so far to become a conversational activist.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is, back in 2016, back in 2014, I actually started in the aviation industry. I had gotten some certifications to eventually lead up to be an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in 2016, about 2 years in, I was able to transfer with American Airlines, and I started here in Phoenix, right? Now, when that happened, my position was kind of, I had two jobs, if you will. From Monday to Thursday, I was kind of in the office setting, and I was dealing with, because I spoke Portuguese, or I speak Portuguese and Spanish, I was able to kind of use my language skills, and I was able to use them with some programs that we have here in Phoenix. But what would happen on the weekend is that I would go and help promote different routes that American was trying to launch, either through, you know, a route of our own or code shared, meaning, you know, if it was like, you know, British Airways willing to split the route with us, or Japan Airlines, what have you. So I was fortunate enough to be able to travel at least 3 times a month. And I kind of call it like the flight attendant in the back is what I tell people, just to kind of help explain a little bit, because that was the schedule that I had. And that was the travel regimen that I had. I would go somewhere for a couple of days and come back. Now, with this, I was able to go ahead and go to, you know, different cities really in the world. And it was quick, right? It was quick trips. And one of the things that kind of fascinated me the most is because I've always loved different foods, different cultures, different people. But the thing that got me the most was the things that we were similar in, the similarities between people. And mind you, in a lot of, you know, I speak Spanish and Portuguese, but I don't speak Mandarin. I don't speak Hebrew. I don't speak, you know, there's so many other languages that I don't speak. And yet I was able to find the similarities with people that were different than me. And, you know, this continued for up until now, really. I've been able to do that. Obviously with COVID, it's been a little different. But what I started doing was I would have these conversations with people and people that I didn't know, people that were different. And I would make it a goal to sit down and not just talk to them, but listen. I would listen to them so that I can learn something. And I would commit to them that I would learn something new from our conversations. But I would approach it like I would, like a date, if you will. You know, I would, you know, for example, I would go to them and I'd be like, okay, well, can I help you cook this meal together? I noticed that you're, you know, you're washing your cars. Can I help you with that so that we can sit down and talk? Let me help you. Let me show you that I'm willing to serve you, to sit down with you so that, you know, kind of make them comfortable. You know, I wanted these people that were willing to talk to, I wanted to make them feel comfortable. And it just so happened that, you know, when COVID hit, I was traveling a lot less, right? But one of the things that I noticed was, and at the time, I'm originally from New York, but I'm in Phoenix right now, and I've kind of had to stay in Phoenix, right, since early 2020. But one of the things I noticed after COVID was that some of the most polarizing, different people were within a 10-minute, 15-minute drive of where I live. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm talking about people that were completely different, people that not, and different than my travels, people that I spoke the same language with, but just viewed the world completely different than I did, whether it be religion, politics. And my curiosity conversations continued. My conversational activism not just continued, but it really, really got really kind of fortified and got a lot. I had a lot more conversations ever since COVID started. And one of the things that, and I would use the same formula. I would, you know, sit down with people that were different than me and I would serve them. You know, for example, to give you an example, you know, I sat down with here in Arizona, the Republicans for Biden mm-hmm. group. I sat down with them. And then I sat down with, you know, there was a Mr. Jay Chin. He is a South Korean immigrant here, and he's a business owner here now for several years. And he was a really big Trump supporter. And he was one of the first South Koreans to run for the state Senate here in Arizona in a very liberal part of the city. I thought he was fascinating. I wanted to sit down and learn from him. I helped him take down signs after an election, and I'll just die. But I was there, and I during my conversation, not with him, but with the other people, a couple minutes in, I completely forgot who he was. I forgot that he was a politician. I forgot that we had voted for different people. I was having such an engaging conversation with somebody that the same conversation that I'd have with best friend. And it was then when I really, really started to realize the world changes, our world changes every day, for the good or for the worse. And it's how I have conversations with people. That's the first thing I can, because I can, you know, we can all change the world in different ways, right? There's a lot of different, you know, issues and stands that we can take. But the first thing that we do, the easiest thing that we can do, is talking to someone. And that's the first step we can take towards change. And it, you know, it's something that's, I call it the leaving the room effect. Mm-hmm. When I leave the room with Mr. Chin or with, you know, the, for example, the Republicans or Biden, right? I'll use those two examples. When I leave the room with them, I want them to be able to look at me like a friend. You know, we don't agree on a lot of things, but at least I gave him a voice. At least I sat down and I listened to him. And he knows that about me. That is what I call the leaving room effect. When I leave, how are they going to look at me? Are they just going to look at me as somebody who, you know, well, he's different. He's on that side. He thinks the opposite. He's the enemy. He's evil, right? I mean, all these words were used to describe people on both sides, right? So that's the things that I've learned from, for example, these two groups, I haven't learned in some of the furthest countries I've been to.
Mm-hmm. And it comes ultimately from having that curiosity and asking questions, which kind of leads me to my next question, really. Do you have any recommendations on how somebody could develop that kind of curiosity if they haven't experienced it before, where they get the drive or the motivation to find somebody that they don't necessarily agree with, sit down with them and pick their ear and listen to their point of view for a little bit? Do you have any ideas on what somebody that has never really done that before might want to try to kind of get into that that approach?
Absolutely. The first thing that would most likely kind of relate to everybody would be, you know, just search really within your community, search really within your sphere, right? Your social media feed. But even more than that, it's the people that personally know you, that you know think differently, you know are different than you, disagree with you on a certain topic. Or you just simply don't understand, and you just reach out to them and say, hey, I would love to learn from you. I would love to sit down and just hear how you look at the world so that I can find the commonality, so that I can learn, I can grow. And really, the unique thing is that, as you know, I use the term, conversational activism. And the thing is that it's not, you know, my personal or my professional life has nothing to do with these conversations that I'm having. But that's the point. See, I've spoken to people when I started, I was speaking with people within, you know, the aviation, within the engineering world, I guess, if you will. But what I noticed was that it's all these conversations that I've had with different people, and it, you know, religious, politics, cult leaders, actually. It's that all those conversations have helped me become a better person in no matter what I wanted to get into. They've helped me become a better person because they've helped me understand and see the world in ways that I couldn't have without having these conversations. So the easiest thing you can do is just reach out to somebody within your group, your community, your family even. Nowadays, we even have families that they can have very polarizing families, but not just that, but families that maybe have, you know, different generations that may think of something differently than we were raised to think, just because, and it has nothing to do with, you know, where we were raised, but when, right? You know, our parents look at things differently than we do, right? So that would be the easiest thing. And then you'll notice that when you start having those conversations, you're gonna want to branch out and speak to more people and reach out. And the thing is that, you know, curiosity is a superpower. Curiosity is what drives somebody to want to find out what's out there in the world. Curiosity is what drove people like Steve Jobs, like Martin Luther King, to keep going and keep, and not just giving up, but they wanted to make this world a better place than how they found it. And I know it may sound like, you know, a far stretch there, but curiosity is a superpower. Curiosity is what makes us learn. And the more we learn, not just the younger our brains stay, but the better we become. Not I'm not trying to, you know, make people think that with all these curiosity conversations that we have, that we're going into the conversation to have our mind changed or our opinion changed. We're not compromising our opinions by having conversations with someone different. And we're not trying to change them either. That's not the point. The point is to go in and to learn one new thing from somebody who's different so that we can work on the things that we agree on more to help cope with the differences.
Now, a few minutes ago, you had mentioned that looking at starting that conversation like going on a date. Well, I can tell you that one of my big fears in asking somebody out on a date was rejection. So have you ever experienced somebody that you've reached out to and they go, I don't want to do that? And if so, how did you handle that? And how would you recommend others handle that if their advances in that regard are rebuffed?
Rejection is definitely no different in curiosity conversations than it is in any other aspect of life. Rejection is there, right? Mm-hmm. We, out of 10 shots that we take, we can miss 9, right? But it's that one that we do make that makes the other 9 well worth it. And it's the same. It's the same. We have a lot, you know, I've had a ton of more people than have said yes, have said no. They just ignore you. They just don't answer. You know, they receive the message. They just don't answer. Or some just simply respond with, you know, maybe confused a little bit. Like, what? Why do you want to talk to me? Who are you, right? Who are you to talk to me? And I think that as much as we can't control how much and how often we'll be rejected, one thing we can do is contact somebody with the intent to first make them feel comfortable enough to keep talking to us. We kind of, like I mentioned with the date, you know, if I was to approach, you know, a girl at a bar, I just don't go up to her and tell her, hey, let's go out tomorrow. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, you're the one, let's do this. Right. Because not only will I scare her, but I completely, my message and my real intent, which is a good intent, my good intent is to, you know, be able to get to know this girl. But I completely distracted from my good intent with fear and just, you know, making her feel very uncomfortable. And the same goes with these conversations. You know, more often than not, you know, we'll have to do a little research and, you know, kind of study the situation a little bit. Like, if, for example, I'll use the girl in the bar example. Like, if I was, when I walk into the bar and I see a girl that she's, you know, maybe with two other friends and I'm interested in her, but I see that, you know, they kind of have a conversation going, okay, then I know that, you know, I'm going to kind of need to slowly work with that and maybe, you know, kind of talk to everybody before I talk to her. Same thing goes with the curiosity conversations. We have to do a little bit of homework first. You know, we have to study up a little bit. Who is this person? Where is this person? What do they stand for? You know, a lot of people have, you know, websites, social medias, with not necessarily who they are, but why they are. What group are they representing? For example, I, you know, wanted to speak to somebody that was in the, you know, the Scientology, the Church of Scientology. And I approached them, and, you know, the first website that I went to of theirs was, well, something that was kind of promoting their cause, their church, which, you know, as they should, all power to them. So I kind of, you know, use that, and I knowing that page, that their social media was there to more promote their cause than them, it wasn't the smartest idea to leave them a message on the site, right? What I did was through the site and through, you know, my homework, kind of tracking them down a little bit, you know, seeing maybe what events they have, I was able to actually meet them at an event that they were having because I saw in their calendar on their website, okay? So I said, okay, this is good. And then that's how I was able to, you know, approach this person, and I had an email address of theirs ready that was on their page. So I kind of did my homework. I went in. And then another thing that I do is I kind of mentioned it in the beginning is service of some sort. You know, I approached them and I said, hey, I see that you're handing out papers at your event. Can I help you? Can I help you hand those out? I wanna help you. And, you know, maybe after, if you can just give me 20 minutes of your time, I just want to sit down and talk. But I'd be more than happy to help. You know, more often than not, people, I haven't really been rejected from me offering to help them with whatever they may need. You know, in this example, it was at the event. And that worked. That worked. I went in and it was genuine. I wasn't just, you know, okay, I'm just going to just throw some papers here and call it good. Like, no, I really got engaged in what they were doing, is handing out papers. And I didn't need to say that I was for or against Scientology. I didn't need to be a Scientologist. I didn't need to be part of their group to help them out. I can help out anyone, just like anyone can help me out. So definitely doing your homework and studying up on the person is the first thing that you need to do, because everybody's going to be different. You know, when I spoke to Mr. Chin, I saw his signs all over town, and I went to his website, and I knew that he was going to be at one of his rallies. So what did I do? I went and I offered to help. I offered to hand out water. I offered to help. And he saw that I was helping. And you know, when I approached him, I said, let me, you know, I you're going to need help taking down those signs. Can I help you with that? You know? So again, you know, kind of like a date, like it's something that, you know, I give them and something that they give me. So definitely doing your homework is first. And will you be rejected? You will. But more often than not, when you've built that rapport, when you've done your homework, and when you are able to meet them in a comfortable environment, in their environment, more often than not, they're gonna give you some time. You know, 20 minutes to 2 hours, 3 hours. That may vary, but at least you put in your work and your research. And more often than not, at that point, more often than not, you won't be rejected.
Excellent. Now, one of the things I really like about the approach overall, especially when we're in a situation with the virus and people aren't necessarily making an income, the conversation doesn't cost anything to do. And you don't need a big education or a big pocketbook to start a conversation. But what you probably do need a little bit of is imagination. Like you had mentioned, there are ways to approach. But once you have those folks' attention, what's kind of the inspiration to ask various questions? What have you drawn on for inspiration to know what to ask that makes them engaged and as well as you learning something?
Yeah. Well, the questions I mainly focus on is the first objective of the conversation, of course, is to give them a voice. Now, you know, we may think like, oh, well, you know, for example, if I'm going to sit down and talk to a politician, well, they already have a voice. They don't need me to give them the voice, right? They already have it. They have their followers. They have, you know, their people, their groups. But what I mean by giving them a voice is I approach them with genuine and earnest curiosity, but intent. I really want to listen to them. So with that, the first questions I ask is a little bit about them and why. Questions, open-ended why questions. Why do you believe what you believe? What was your background? Like what did you go through in life, or how were you raised, or when was it that it clicked to you, or when was it that it came to you and you said, wait, you know, this is what I want to do. This is who I want to be. This is what I want to follow, what I want to accomplish. Like that point, I really focus on that exact point, because like all of us, you know, all these people that, you know, all these conversations, they're relatable. They're relatable to us. You know, we may not be, you know, we may not be cult leaders. We may not be, you know, scientists. We may not be, you know, politicians or just people, you know, that have a polarizing voice these days. We may not all be that, but we can very well relate to the people that do, because them, just like us, we're the same people. The biggest thing that I've noticed about all of these people, and I'm, this is a lifelong, I've dedicated my life to having these conversations. But so far, the conversations I've had, what I've noticed, the thing I've noticed the most is that everybody has and wants the same thing. They want happiness, prosperity, growth, family, love. Everybody wants the same thing. They just have a different point of view on how to get there. But we're all the same. It's the things that we're similar in that become relatable. That's when we find something that's relatable to us, when we find something that we can relate to someone with, that's when we really can not just learn the most from them, but they become somebody that we can learn from, because they're humans just like us, you know. It's so often than not we give these people, certain people, you know, maybe in the media or what have you, we put them on an altar, and we think, oh well, you know, they're above us, they smarter than us, they, what they've accomplished, like only someone like them can. And you know, I think with the more conversations I'll have, I'll think I'll learn more, but I think the line between them and us is a lot more thin than we think it is. So questions of why, how, when was it that this came to you, you know, kind of background questions, and not questions that really, you know, attack them. Because I know with most of these conversations in the beginning, they kind of direct the narrative, right? They're the ones that are, you know, they kind of start off, and they start off strong more often than not. They start off like, this is what I think, this is my opinion, this is why they're wrong, or this is why you're wrong, or this is what's wrong with the world. This, you know, they, and that's fine. You know, I let them talk. I don't interrupt them. I just let them say what they will. And then when I start seeing the human being in them, when I start seeing the thing that I can relate to with them, that's where the conversation starts, if you will. So anything, you know, the questions of relativity, how can I relate to this individual? Those are the questions that we want to ask.
And what I like about the overall approach of activism through conversation is that essentially not only are you trying to learn from each other, but you're also sowing those seeds of hope that seem to have been missing from conversations that most people are having these days. And so it seems like an effort to hunt up and identify methods of hope among two people is a great place to start. So honestly, I really applaud the effort, because I think you can do so much with two people starting a conversation. And I think what you're doing here is a perfect example of that. So I really just want to say that this has been a really fun and enlightening conversation, and a very laid back, which is very different from my show, which is a nice change of pace. But tell us, Jonathan, where can folks find out more about your journey to have these conversations and find the hope?
Right. You can follow me on Instagram at jonathan.k.rivera. And, you know, one thing about, for example, you know, the social media or, you know, kind of what I was mentioning before is, you know, just like, you know, curiosity can be a superpower, I think that I wanted to use my anonymity as another superpower that I can use when I approach people. That's why, you know, and the reason I'm doing this is my social media page, I started from scratch. I'm putting up a new website. I'm starting everything from scratch, just focused on this cause. And you can follow me there, and you'll see that, you know, the page is starting off. I'm starting from scratch. The reason for this is because I really want people to not just take this journey with me, but to start their own journey. And you don't need to have followers, you know, thousands of followers, have some sort of name. You don't need to have that. Because like I mentioned, it's the less you have, the more you can. So I invite people to go with me on this journey that's ongoing. Literally later this week, we'll be having conversation. Jonathan.k.rivera on Instagram.
All right. Wonderful, Jonathan. I do encourage everybody to check it out and start their conversation journey as well. So thank you again, Jonathan, for taking the time with me today and sharing your message with us.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And now a challenge to our listeners. If you also have a subject that you're passionate about, like Jonathan here, and you can speak with some authority on it, and you're maybe not afraid to tackle some of the tougher questions that you could be confronted with, then I want to talk to you here on Unsensitive. So you can reach out to me through my email at rayrobwrites@gmail.com or through the Fearscape Media Network with your topic. Maybe I'll be grilling you next. And a special thanks to Ben Sounds for the use of Happy Rock, and of course the fine folks at Fearscape for giving me a platform. And thank you again for listening to Unsensitive. We'll talk again soon. And until then, keep that mind open.